Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Watts for Jack Watts Live, broadcasting to you today from the 10th floor of the We Believe Tower in Midtown Atlanta, overlooking the majestic Buckhead skyline, where there's not a cloud in the sky, and the temperature is unseasonably warm, close to 60 degrees, but we're expecting snow on Wednesday, showing that our weather is bipolar, and so is the federal government. We've got a lot to talk about today. There are a lot of things that are happening. This is, the president is gearing up for his fifth State of the Union address. And since the last time he gave his State of the Union, which was right after the election, where his popularity was about those who approved him was, you know, maybe 53 or 54%, and disapproved was 42. Those numbers have switched one completely, so that now there are over 50%, close to 54, who do not believe he's doing a good job, according to the Real Clear Politics average, and in the low 40s, 42 that believe that he is. In a in another recent poll, one that just has come out in the last couple of days, only 37% of the American people think that President Obama has the capacity to make the correct decision. 37%, that's one in three. That means that two-thirds either don't believe that he has that capacity or just don't know one way or the other. There are more that, believe that he is incapable of making a good decision. And I think that that is a very fair question. Is President Obama capable of making a good decision? When it comes to international politics, first in this last year, first he was going to have a red line if the, you know, if the Assad regime was using sarin gas, he was going to intervene. Well, they did, and he didn't. The Iranians were put on notice that if they didn't stop their attempts to develop nuclear weapons, the United States was going to take action, and we haven't. We've given them a pass on it, to the point where only 12% of those who live in Israel believe that President Obama has Israel's best interest at heart. 12%. 12%. Now, I don't know how you can do anything with 12%. And frankly, what it makes me wonder is, does that 12% know what they're talking about? Now, tomorrow is State of the Union address, and we are going to see what Barack Obama can do. Now, my brother's on the line. Richard, how are you?
Good, Jack. How are you?
Good. I've got another friend on the line, but she's got to be quiet or I'm going to put her on hold. At any rate, here we are. We're in the middle of all of this, Dick. And I see, I see that Obama is going to give a speech, and You know, it amazes me. Well, can he turn it around with this speech?
Is that Jack?
You know, that's the question. Can he turn things around with this speech? You know what? That is all he has ever done, is give a speech. He has no ability to lead. He does have ability to give good speeches, but he doesn't get, it doesn't mean anything.
Well, you forgot something else he's good at.
There's nothing behind it. And, you know, he wants immigration reform, and he's critical of the Senate for not doing it in the last year. And the Democrats control the Senate, 55-45. He can't even lead his own people to get what he wants. It just doesn't make sense to me. And they keep talking about, well, the economy has turned around. And I think, what kind of hubris is this? How can the economy turn around? How can the economy turn around when there is 17.3 trillion in debt? How can that be? What kind? I mean, if you owed more, well, every American, every taxpaying American owes $150,500. Are you there?
Yeah.
Now that means that, now, you know, my daughter Katie's getting married, and the guy that she's marrying, they're young. Between them, they owe $300,000 in debt to what we've already squandered. $300,000 will buy a pretty nice house.
Yeah.
But they owe that. They owe that. Now, you and I do, too. But, you know, they're not going to get that out of us because, you know, we'll be long gone when some of these bills are still yet to be paid. And yet, Barack Obama is talking about the economy turned around. We're going to go through this just a little bit because 17.33 trillion. All right, now, the gross domestic product, everything that we make for a year, is $16.244 trillion. So we owe more than a year's worth of our income. For everybody that works in America, we are behind a year. Now, if people run households, if your household is a year behind in its debt, a year, you're out of business. Are there any, if you get 60 days behind on your phone bill or on your light bill or on your gas bill, they're threatening to turn things off. And if you go 90 days, they do. This is 365 days and more. That's a lot of money. That's a lot to be behind for this fool to get up there and say that we are the economy is doing well. What kind of an idiot does he think people are? Well, obviously we are idiots because people go, oh yeah, we're doing pretty well.
Yeah.
Now, so, well, we owe all that money to China. We owe a lot of it to China. Their gross domestic product is $8 trillion a year. So they're half the size of us. So Great Britain is $2.4 trillion. And we owe $17.5 trillion almost. So that would be every person in Great Britain that works would have to do their jobs for 7 years to pay what we owe in debt.
What was it when Obama took over? Eight?
China is eight. Our gross national, our gross domestic product is 16.2.
No, what was the national debt when Obama took over?
Ten. Ten
so
trillion.
In 5 years, he's almost doubled it.
In 5 years, he has it has increased at 70%.
Yeah.
You know, so few people, pay attention to this. It's like it's a non-issue. And if you're a family that's riddled with debt, and there are lots of them, it becomes all-consuming. It takes your life from you. It makes every single day drudgery. And yet, Obama goes on these expensive vacations to Hawaii, to Africa, has this special party for, you know, surprise party for, you know, for his wife that they didn't even tell the press about, you know, and has Ashley Judd and Beyonce and, you know, and all of these people come flying in and Oprah herself to, you know, just so that they can just be with Michelle. Isn't that sweet? And we pay for it. Not him. We pay for it. And he makes his precious daughters, you know,
senior staff people,
his two daughters. And then he doesn't want anybody to criticize him because that's not fair. I mean, that's my family. You shouldn't criticize them. That's not fair. But they're taking a salary like they are doing a job, and no one complains. And those who do are racist. It's galling. But this is all the negative. Starting next week and for the foreseeable future, we're going to make a little change. We're going to have another guest on here, including you and me, Mitch Swann, who is running for Congress in the 10th District of Georgia. He is a full colonel in the Marine Corps, and he grew up in Dover, Massachusetts.
Wow.
And he's got people up there that, you know, but he lives in Athens, which is the 10th District, and goes on down into central Georgia in the some of the really nice parts down there to the east of Macon. But he has a 5-point plan for what this nation needs to do, so that instead of us just cursing the darkness, we are also going to light a candle, because it doesn't just do any good completely to just point out Obama's flaws. We have to come up with answers and with solutions that will work to transform this nation and for people to have something to hang their hat on, rather than just say, you know what, Obama's a fool and he doesn't know what he's doing, and we, you know, and he's a liar, and we don't trust him. All of those things are true, but we've got to have some answers. We've got to take the Senate away from the Democrats and put up viable candidates for everything, and candidates that really have a heart for America. If Obama's bad, Hillary's worse, or at least as bad. She may not be quite the Muslim lover that he is, but she is every bit the socialist. And if there are people that die mysteriously around Obama, you know, that has been happening since she was the first lady and before. And, you know, when he was governor of Arkansas, I mean, there's been stuff that, you know, just, there's no actuarial table that could account for the strange way that people have died. I mean, actuaries can, you know, give you this, that, and the other for everything. And, you know, well, how many people are going to die from gunshot wounds self-inflicted in the woods? And they'd say, well, your chances of that are, you know, like 1 in 10 million. Unless you happen to know the Clintons, and then the odds go way up. And that's, sadly, that's, you know, that's been the case. But, you know, those aren't things that, I mean, that's all in the past. And I'm still in hopes that we can get to the root of everything where Benghazi is concerned, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the worst of the bunch to me.
Yeah. I still think Benghazi is something that's going to come back and bite Hillary in the long run.
I do too. There's, you know, they refer to it as a phony scandal, a non-issue, you know, what difference at this point does it make? Jay Carney, oh, that happened a long time ago. Still no answers, just little bits. The House, you know, has a hearing on this and a hearing on that, but there is no independent counsel to go after this, which is exactly what they need. And, you know, the Senate, you know, the very conservatives are very critical of McCain and Lindsey Graham. And those are the two senators, in my estimation, who have absolutely done the best job of trying to get to the bottom of the Benghazi thing. Now, they may have problems in some other areas, but when it comes to Benghazi, they've been pretty straight on.
Yeah.
As has Kelly Mayotte up there in New Hampshire. Well, these are the things that have been, you know, troubling me, and, you know, I just I wonder what is going on and what we can do. And I keep thinking that in this nation there have to be people by the hundreds, by the thousands, who are willing to stand up and be heard, who are willing to run for office, who are willing to do the things necessary to save this great nation. Now, we just had, you know, a couple of weeks ago, the governor of, or less than 2 weeks, the governor of New York say, you know, that people who supported the Second Amendment, who wanted freedom of religion, and who were pro-life, and one of the sanctity of marriage with, you know, with one woman, one guy, were unwelcome in the state of New York. He's gotten into a lot of heat from that. There are a lot of people that don't like that. But they're trying to marginalize us by saying we're kooks, we're extremists, we're out there on the fringe, on the edge of sanity, and it's simply not true. We're just normal people, real normal, but we don't like spending money we don't have. We don't like all of the enormous regulation. We don't like the president making laws with his signature without the Congress and only enforcing the laws he likes and not the ones he doesn't. We're not going to, that's never going to be us. Now, you know, does that mean, that doesn't bode well for us in the future if things keep going as they are? Kind of scary, don't you think?
Yeah.
Well, there will be a lot of attention tomorrow with the president, and his poll numbers will go up after the speech because people want desperately to believe the president of the United States. They want to accept, you know, yes, we're having good leadership. And so they give him the benefit of the doubt all the time until things happen. And the Obamacare stuff, I mean, they've been lying to us about how many people are signing up for it. And their assumption that the young people, young, healthy people, you know, people Katie's age, my daughter, would all sign up for it, and they'd be paying, you know, for the very sick people that, you know, that really want it. And they're not. And you know the interesting thing? They say, well, they're going to fine, you know, they're going to fine you if you don't. There's no mechanism in the IRS to do that. So it's an idle threat. They can't even do it. It'll be years before they can even figure out who, you know, who does and who doesn't. And these people are incompetent. They don't know anything. It isn't just that they can't get their website to work. They have this monstrosity, and the implementation of it is a disaster, and it's going to take years to undo what Obama has done. Not good.
No.
What do you think, Richard? Do you got anything to say about that?
Well, I don't know. There's just been so many different things that have happened over the last few years that I don't know. It just, I know I'm getting older, and hopefully I'm getting wiser. But it just seems to me that he has hoodwinked this country, and people still believe in him. And you said earlier one of the things he does good is give a speech, and I think one of the other things he does good is lying. And he knows how to spend money. He knows how to make other world leaders make him bow to them. And now this whole thing is that I hear today in Afghanistan, that they're letting criminals go. They let like 37 criminals go, and some of them are known to have killed Americans and NATO forces. And to me, this guy is just stubbing his nose in their face. The president of Afghanistan,
Karzai.
Yeah, and we're supposed to be signing some sort of a security pact with them. I don't know. Just it seems every time you go around the corner, there's something else that has been fouled up, misled. I mean, the Obamacare is working great. Well, they say 3,000 people have signed up, but they won't tell you how many have paid. 3,000 people, 3 million people.
Or 300,000.
No, 3 million people signed up.
3 million.
Of the 3 million that signed up, they won't tell you how many have actually paid the insurance companies, which would make them signed up. And of that 3 million, how many are actually on Medicaid now? They actually signed up, and they're counting them as part of Obamacare for them signing up on Medicaid.
That's just ridiculous. You know, if you're a salesman, and I think that the listeners can understand this, if you're a salesman, you don't have a sale until you have a contract. Oh, well, so-and-so over there is talking about they're going to do this in a month that doesn't mean anything. That's just BS. If you don't have a deal, if you don't have a contract, if you don't have a check, you got nothing. You got bupkis. And this is what Obamacare is. They're trying to say, well, you know, this is, you know, we've had all these visits to the website. And somehow, that's supposed to mean that they have contracts in force. If they haven't paid, then you have nothing. Nothing. No insurance is in force. You know, you could just say, well, you know, I just signed a thing with New York Life for a $10 million policy. And, you know, and then you die. Say, well, you know, you have a signed thing, but we don't have the check for your first premium. And until you have the check for your first premium, you don't have nothing. So guess what? You don't get the $10
million. That's the way it works.
That's the way it works. That's business. And, you know, Obama, the BS that they have concerning all of this stuff is staggering. Now, that is, that's what's happening. We've got difficulty in every area, domestically, international politics, but more than anything, credibility. Of the top 10 Pinocchios for lying, Obama got either 3 or 4. And this is from the liberal media, from Time magazine. So, you know, even they recognize that there is a credibility problem. He'll stand up there, he'll give this speech, he'll say all these things. How much of it can you trust to be true? From my perspective, I don't believe anything until I see it. To take him at face value after 5 years of deceit, it'd be, it's kind of like, some woman that's married to an alcoholic who finally, he says, well, just give me another chance, and, I'll never drink again. Well, I'll let you go ahead and beat me again. Nonsense. We're out of time. Listen, we'll talk to you next week, and we've got plans for the future. So listen, thank you, Dick, and God bless you, and God bless the United States of America, and we will prevail in this. Good night.